As I've said a while ago, we are beginning this six-week stewardship campaign called Harvest. Can you say that with me, church? Harvest. You will hear a lot of this phrase from me, harvest. Because throughout the scripture, the image of harvest serves as a powerful metaphor for God's abundant provision and a response of gratitude and generosity. In fact, the concept of harvest is deeply ingrained in the biblical narratives from the Old Testament, agricultural festivals, as what we have just heard, and probably have heard Passover, Feast of Tabernacles. Those are agricultural festivals in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we heard from Jesus the parables of the sower and the reaper. So these passages depict God as the ultimate provider, orchestrating the cycle of planting and growing and harvesting to sustain his people and demonstrate God's faithfulness. So I hope that for the next 6 weeks, you will tune in to the Word of God, whether in person or online, and not miss any of that Sunday as we build up this week after week, in the hope that as we reach the 23rd of November, our spirit is so on fire. We all fed by the Word of God, and we are now ready to say, Lord, here's my response. Here's my commitment that I want to offer back for your glory and for your honor. Let us pray. Our generous God, on this season of harvest and stewardship, we come with open hearts to hear your word. Whether in person or online, I pray, Lord, that your spirit will move us in a way that is life-giving, empowering us to be the disciple that you called us to be. May the words of my mouth, O God, be acceptable in your sight. And may we respond back to you with praise and thanksgiving, so that we leave this place renewed, refreshed, and transformed. For it's in your name that we pray. Amen. I just love this season of fall and autumn here in the U.S. When I moved in North Carolina in 1997 permanently, because I've been coming every now and then prior to that, one of the most exciting things I look forward is the changing of the seasons. Back in the Philippines, when I was growing up, we only have the rainy season and the summer season. But here in the United States, I just love this transition from summer to fall or autumn, where the heat of the summer gives way to the relaxing, cool breeze. How many of you have like me about that, church? We all love this kind of season, where trees and leaves change from green to yellow and orange and red and all different colors just like this. In fact, on my way here from Bethel Church, I saw all these many leaves falling, reminding us the season is already here. And then we combine that with the smell of pumpkin spice on the air. I love pumpkin spice. That's why I love pumpkin pie. If you're cooking some of that, let me know. And we begin to connect this whole kind of season of the year with the harvest, the image of harvest. You know, just last week, the state fair opened up, right? Like Thursday, and last Wednesday, we were there at the senior circle. Thank you, by the way, Miss Donald Rose. That was a wonderful senior circle gathering, and we talk a lot of things about state fair. So I've been reminded of all of these kind of things, all rolled into one about this image of harvest. In Leviticus 23, the harvest feast was given by God as one of those appointed festivals to the Israelites in order that they appropriately mark the beginning of the summer wheat harvest on an indefinite annual basis. After harvesting season, all the Israelites they're going to form caravans and travel to Jerusalem singing songs of praise to God and rejoicing in his goodness all along the way. And when the holiday worshipers first arrive in Jerusalem, they will proceed first to the temple area, putting their baskets of first fruits upon their shoulders and carrying them into the temple court. And traditionally, the pilgrims enter the courts and the Levites would sing what is in Psalm 30 verse 1 says, "I will exalt you, Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not allowed my enemies to triumph over me." And after that elaborate rituals, the priest would then sacrifice 7 unblemished male lambs, a year old, 1 young bull, and 2 rams, offering these gifts of great value to express praise and thanksgiving to a God of goodness, to the God of provision, to the God who blessed them all year round. So Leviticus passages evokes and gave us this metaphor of God's goodness and blessings. So what biblical principles we may learn from all of this text, from the scripture that we have before us today? Let me offer several important biblical principles this morning. First, God provides. Can you say that with me, church? God provides. We see here the God who provides Israelites to set aside a season to honor God, to honor his goodness, to honor his provision, to honor his blessing. It is in harvest that people recognize that this all manna does not come from their own efforts. It was given to them. They have been recipient of these gifts, of this blessing. They've been reminded that the Lord provides a rainy spring for the sake of those farmers and the seeds in the fields. God provided for the Israelites. And isn't that also true to us today, that God provides for you and for me? Sometimes we have this scarcity mentality. We've been so much inundated and with what the world says. And sometimes we have lost that gift that God had given to us, the gift of abundance. We always think what is missing and what we do not have, what do not possess. And that runs countercultural to what Leviticus 23 is saying to us, that there are more and more because God provides. And this very God that provides, provides more of himself. Scripture tells us to make pursuit of God as the primary functions of our lives. Sort of reminding us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be what? Will be added into you." Psalm 37 says, "Delight yourself in God and he will give you the what? The desires of your heart." In other words, this very God who provides for the Israelites is the very same God who also provides more of himself. The greatest of this is the giving and embodiment of his very Son, Jesus the Christ, to be the atoning sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. So each day that we go to a job, each day that we earn a paycheck, we experience God's provision. Each day that you receive love from your family and you hear the good news of a report from your doctor that you've been cleared from any cancer or any disease, God's provision is there. Whenever your prayers were answered, Whenever you have food on top of your table, or clothes, or something to drink, or something, a place for you to keep yourself warm in cold season, that is God's provision. This very God provides even when it is different than when what we expect. A great theologian by the name of John Piper says, and I quote, God always doing 10,000 things in your life, but you may be only aware of the three of them. That is so true, right, church? God has given us 10,000 things, and we only recognize three of them. Over and over again, Jesus' disciples miss the opportunity. Either they don't see that it's right in front of them. And they miss the point. They have no clue at all what Jesus had done in their lives. Can we see ourselves there as well, church? Many times God has given you all the blessings, the provisions, the healing and the restoration, and you and I have missed all the point of miracles. You and I have missed the lessons. See, church, the challenge for us is to see God's provision even when it is different than what we expect. We sort of kind of asking God, it's like we're thinking God as a bendo machine. How many of you have used bendo machine? We said, okay, I'm going to put some money on the bendo machine. This is what I expect from you, God. Isn't that how we pray to God? We ask God, Lord, this is what I want. This is what I need. But that's not how God operates. He operates to what he believes, what is good for you. And most of the time, he provides you even when it is different than what you and I expect. I know in my own experience in life, I tried to apply for jobs when I was back in the Philippines. God keep on saying, I'm not going to give you this work because I'm preparing you for something else. Have you experienced that, church? You try to do things, trying to ask God, and then somehow God provides you something that is totally different from what you expect. Guess what? The reason why. It's because he wants you to trust him. God wants you to trust on his provisions for your needs. And sometimes that provision requires for you to step out of your faith and use whatever resources that God has given to you. A lot of times we failed on that trust, right? Because we want to do it our own way. We sort of kind of dictate what God wants for us to do to us, rather than to trust God to do what he wants for us to do. In other words, God provides when it is different than what we expect. It's all about trusting God. God wants to remind the people that the biggest harvest of provision and blessing in life comes to us only if we do our part to trust him, to depend on faith amidst all the circumstances beyond the control of the Israelites. God wants the people of Israelites to persevere, to be patient, and to have that determination and willingness to again work as long as hard as it takes to reap the harvest. Isn't that the same true today, church? We simply have to trust God in everything. I'm not worried about finances. I'm not going to be worried about how we can be able to manage for 2026, because I know I can trust God. That should be our attitude. And that was the attitude that God is saying to the Israelites. And that leads me to the next point. Because we trust God, we should be grateful. At the heart of the harvest narrative lies the virtue of gratitude. And the problem is, we sort of kind of have a lot of grumbling people nowadays. Do we all agree on that, church? We have created this culture of complaining. And there's going to be another sermon about complaining down the road. But I just want to let you know that the greatest enemy of gratitude is what? Complain. People always grumble. I don't have this. I don't deserve this. I work hard for this. Church, we don't deserve anything. Because all good and perfect things come from God. We should be grateful for what God has given to us, period. Be contented. I've seen people who are so much have lived a life of how do you call that, ingratitude. And they were not happy people because they keep on asking for a wrong reason. Well, the Bible reminded us in Deuteronomy chapter 8, when you have eaten and are satisfied, you have to praise the Lord for the good land that He has given to you. Gratitude acknowledges God's role as the source of all the blessings. This requires humility. Humility to say, Lord, I don't deserve all of this, but you have given this to me. It is a mindset that transcends circumstances, inviting us to cultivate that kind of attitude of thankfulness, even when life is so scarce, even when times we face difficulty and meeting both ends, even if we have hard times, and many of you have been through that road before. Some of you here came from that generation of going through the scarcity of life. But you look back and said, thank God. Thank God that you have, that my faith was tested. And thank you, Lord, that I still have that joy of thanking you, of having that grateful heart. And finally, after we've been grateful, after we have trust and been grateful to God, what Leviticus instructs us here in verse 22 is that we must not hoard the blessing, but rather what? Share the blessing with others. Listen again to what the Bible says. He instructs to set aside a portion of that harvest for those who are vulnerable, for those who are marginalized, for those who are poor. We read here God's command to leave the edges of the field and the gleanings for those that do not have anything. Exemplifying what? A spirit of generosity. A spirit that this is not just for us. This is not about me. It's about giving. It's about sharing. Church, some of us here, and for those watching online, probably you're thinking about challenges of your finances today. And we acknowledge that. And some of you may be having challenge on living on a paycheck by paycheck, or having challenge with other things that somehow challenge you to become generous. Hear me out. The Bible is so clear. God provides. And this very God provides more of Himself. And God provides even when it is different than what we expect. All God wants from us today is to trust Him. To trust Him even when we don't realize what we're going to be expecting. Even when it's different from what we expect. To trust Him all the more so that we can be grateful for everything. And for us to be a channel of blessing to others. In closing, let us cultivate a spirit of gratitude for a God who provides. Whether it's tangible blessings of food or shelter, or sustenance, or any intangible gifts of love and grace and salvation, may we never cease offering thanks to the one who provides abundantly beyond measure. And let us heed the call to share blessings to others, extending the love of God and compassion to those around us. I'm going to close this briefly with a story. Yesterday, as we are about to clean up the whole thing from the spaghetti dinner last night, we decided to have the sign out there because there's just plenty of spaghetti that we need to, you know, to sell. And so the kids, upon conversation with the parents, we decided to have like a free food sign out there. So kids right there have put up these signs as vehicles drive to and from this road right in front of the church. And there was one vehicle that pulled over and came. And she came in and tried to order the food and the spaghetti. And then this lady was had a chance to meet with her briefly. And she just, "Pastor, I just need your prayers. I am very down right now. I don't know what to do with my life." And, you know, yeah, well, let's go ahead. And I've been on the listening end about her story. And we huddled together. I brought some of the parents and the kids. We form a circle. We pray for her and lay hands on her. I don't know what happened next after that, but she was so grateful that we're able to be the church for her that night. That small moment, perhaps God used to remind her that God is not over with her yet. Amen? That God provides, that God is there for her. All she needs is to trust God. And perhaps God have used this church that night, last night, to be God's instrument of healing, compassion, and care. Church, it begins with you and with me. And I hope and I pray in this season of harvest that we will recharge our whole spirit again. The spirit of generosity, the gift of giving. And may we do it now. And may we depend upon the Holy Spirit to guide us and to empower us. Would you pray with me? O God, who is our generous and giving God, the very God who provides to provide all of himself. The very God who provides even when it's different than what we expect. Help us, Lord, this morning and every day of our lives to trust you and to trust you more. To depend and put our faith in a God amidst all the circumstances beyond our control. And help us, Lord, to be grateful. And to share the blessing that we have to others. For it is in harvest we glimpse the abundant grace and love of your Son, Christ Jesus, who gave all of himself for us beyond our wildest imagination. May we do it now. May we do it today. And may we depend upon your Holy Spirit to guide and lead us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we offer these prayers. Amen.